This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Our girl was not killed by a tree. You know, going through law school, I never thought those words would come out of my mouth. Our daughter was not killed by a tree. How could a tree kill anybody? But tonight, there is no arrest in the mystery death of a little girl, Olivia May, just 12 years old. Tonight, the COD, death by tree? I'm not buying that, and neither are her parents who are joining us tonight. I want answers. Think about it. What if you have a 12-year-old little girl who is playing a few yards from your home with her friends, and suddenly she's dead? And the COD is death by tree. She ran into a tree and died? No. No. Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us.
Twelve-year-old Olivia May Marie Smith of Caucallen Township, Michigan, is seen laughing with friends, riding bikes, and walking around the neighborhood, until a chilling 911 call reports that the 12-year-old has been seriously injured.
Olivia May Marie.
Saying her name out loud. What good will it do? None, until we have a full and complete investigation, and that investigation starts with conflicting statements. When I first read about Olivia's case, I read she rode her bike inexplicably into a tree and died. Well, I grew up riding a bike in the country. I ran into things. How does that kill you? Don't you need more velocity than that to kill yourself running into a tree? But then the story changed. Then she ran on foot into a tree and died. Again, that doesn't adhere to the rules of physics. You need more velocity than that to die from running into a tree. And then the story morphs again and again. And again, which tells me somebody is lying. Again, I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us. What happened to this little girl? We have an all-star panel to make sense of what we are learning tonight. But first, I want to go to two very special guests. It is Rebecca and Deering Smith joining us tonight from their neighborhood there in Michigan. Their daughter, Olivia, out playing, and suddenly they find out about this horrific, quote, accident, quote. Straight out to Mrs. Smith. Rebecca, thank you for being with us. What is the sequence of events that happened that night?
So I was working. I actually work just 2 minutes from there. I got a phone call around 5:30 saying or asking if Olivia could come out to her friend's house. And I said, okay, let me ask her dad. Dad said, okay. About an hour later, her friends and their mom come to my store to get snacks before heading to my house to get Olivia. So that was around 6:30. And then 9:25, I get a phone call saying to come quick. There's been an accident. And then the story writes itself from there.
Okay. See, hold on. Put Rebecca up. Ms. Smith, I know what I believe happened. You know what you were told. Our listeners and viewers do not. So when you say the story writes itself from there, you get the call 9:25 p.m., it's still daylight when all of this goes down. So Olivia May is not wandering around in the dark. She's playing with her little besties, her little neighborhood friends, not far from their home. Now, you get the call at 9:25, Mrs. Smith. What were you told?
I was told that girls were chasing her, and then she had an accident with the tree, that she ran into the tree.
Girls chasing her. Okay, wait. So you were told she ran on foot and hit a tree?
Yep.
Okay, because when I first was told about the story, well, first of all, it's not a story. This is real. When I was first told about Olivia, I was told she was riding a bike. Did you ever hear that version of the events?
After her death, I did. Everybody was trying to reach out to me and tell me what they thought happened. But that was, you know, with me already seeing that there's not a bump, a bruise, a broken anything on my daughter, still waiting for the ME to tell me that, you know, nothing that he could see was visible. So I heard many, many stories, but the first initial one was that she ran headfirst into a tree.
Okay, hold on right there. Rebecca, you stated that she did not have a broken bone in her body, nor did she have bruises. I'd like to see Mrs. Smith right now. Rebecca, how do you know she did not have bruises? Did you see her after the incident?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We both did.
I was on scene. I was begging, crying, pleading. I seen her friend's parents trying so desperately to save her. I actually called 911 for somebody else to tell me how to do CPR. I was there.
Tell me what happened when you got to the scene.
I seen Olivia laying face up. I seen her friend's dad doing chest compressions. I seen the other neighbor trying to stabilize but not move her too much because they feared maybe a broken neck, because Olivia was laying face up, eyes open, pupils blown, just non-responsive, turning blue, and very, very, very low pulse.
I'm just trying to take in every single word. So you get the call at work, 9:25. Were you still at work?
Yep.
You get the call 9:25, and you what? Jump in your car, run by foot, what?
I flew out the door and fled down there. I left everything behind and just flew.
How long did it take you to get there, Rebecca?
2.3 minutes.
Ms. Smith, I'm going to show some video of the location where this occurred. And if you can see your screen, please look. This was taken by you at 9:05 p.m. You can see every single tree. Isn't that true, Mrs. Smith?
Yes, Nancy.
Ms. Smith, when you saw Olivia lying there the way you described, what, if anything, did you do?
Ran to her, was squeezing her, but given the severity of her looks, of her appearance, I just jumped on the phone and called my husband and held her for a moment. But to be honest with you, now I'm not medically trained or anything like that, but I knew the severity of the situation without needing medical people to tell me that it's probably not a good outcome for my daughter. So I just begged
and pleaded. Were you there when she was taken away by the ambulance?
I was riding shotgun in the ambulance.
You rode in the ambulance. And what happened when you got to the hospital?
We were greeted with the staff and then separated. Trauma went one way, and me, my husband, and my sister went the other.
What happened then?
We just hoped and prayed for a miracle.
When were you told about Olivia's outcome?
We actually made that decision. The doctor did, or the surgeon did, come out and talk with us briefly, told us what was going on, said that they were trying everything they could to stabilize Olivia. And then she got called back again because she had coded. And then probably about 15, 20 minutes came back and told us that they stabilized her. They made a care plan, that there was a doctor down in Flint that was willing to air flight Olivia and accept her, but they wanted to stabilize her a little more. And so that's where we stood. So I did have a small bit of hope. And then it just went downhill from there. And we went to go into her room where we seen everybody doing all these compressions, and it was just, it was a lot. You could tell that it wasn't going to work. And so me and my husband called it quits at 10:59 p.m.
Mr. Smith, Deering Smith, tell me what you experienced that night. What happened?
Complete horror. When I got the call from my wife, I just dropped everything and got there as quick as I could. When I got there, it was just so unreal. She was just, her eyes, it was her eyes. I just knew from her eyes. There was no moving, no movement. No matter how much I asked her to look at me, I just knew she was already gone.
When you first arrived on the scene, what did you see?
I seen paramedics had a device on my daughter doing chest compressions. The officer had tried to do his best to keep me back, but I mean, that's my daughter, so I just kept circling, looking at her from different angles, and I couldn't, just wanting to see what was wrong with my girl, but she was already down. She had, like I said, no movement in her eyes, and all I could do was just yell her name to see if she would look, and she wasn't looking at me.
How did you and Rebecca make the decision to stop trying to revive her?
Well, we knew the times. We also know how much time that she didn't have oxygen to the brain. I do know that they had worked on her for over an hour with no oxygen to the brain. We'd already asked them to keep trying two more times. I don't know. I didn't know what to do. That staff did everything in their power to try to get my daughter back up.
To Dr. Priya Banerjee joining us out of Providence, board-certified forensic pathologist, anatomic pathologist at Anchor Forensic Pathology Consulting. She has worked thousands of cases. Dr. Priya, thank you for being with us. Could you explain the injuries to this 12-year-old little girl, Olivia?
Well, that's to decide even if there are injuries, correct? I think it's very difficult to have injuries that are sustained by just running into a tree. They could be superficial scrapes or something, but to have life-threatening injuries would be highly unusual. You have to really accelerate into a tree to get solid organ damage, bone fractures, whatnot. So to me, there's more to the story. And on a personal note, just the sincerest of condolences, because my daughter's 12 as well. And these pictures reflect my life just hanging out with friends. My daughter's walking around the neighborhood. So I can't imagine the heartbreak here.
Dr. Priya, why would oxygen not be going to her brain? And what is the result after even a minute of no oxygen to your brain?
It's extremely significant. So what happens is the brain is the most oxygen demanding organ in the body. And so a minute, it's just a few minutes of no oxygen will cause irreversible brain damage. It's called anoxic brain injury. Although it's not a physical like bleeding on the brain is starved of oxygen and the cells die. And so this bright, shining girl, the lights basically turned out. Her brain, that's the center of her, is no longer functional, and that cannot be reversed. And it makes sense that, unfortunately, that kind of extended oxygen deprivation, you know, causes this irreversible brain damage. So the rest of her may still be able to function, but it's the central aspect of the brain not getting enough oxygen that's key here.
A lack of oxygen to the brain is cerebral hypoxia. It stops brain cells from generating the energy they need for the brain to function, and it leads to a rapid cascade of damage within seconds, confusion, dizziness, loss of consciousness after just 4 minutes. Permanent brain cell death commences after just minutes. So imagine this. Mrs. Smith, Rebecca, that you now know, gets the call at work. She drops everything and runs. She's there in minutes. But according to what medical doctors tell us, it was too late. Olivia's brain was already dying. No mother, no father could have stopped that. Now, I need to understand this to Rebecca or Deering, whoever wants to answer. What did people tell you on the scene that happened to your girl? Because I would be like, what happened? I mean, had they all left? Were they still there? Were they rendering aid? Did they tell you how she was injured? What happened when you got there, Rebecca?
When I got there, as I stated, her friend's father, her friend's two fathers were there, a neighbor and a very close elder friend were there rendering aid, waiting for paramedics to arrive. All I heard, like I said, was the tree, but I'm staring at my daughter, screaming, crying, begging. But I just seen, like, there was no proof to me. She wasn't bleeding. There was nothing. She was just gone. And I didn't know why. The tree, everybody just kept saying the tree. But to me, it didn't make sense because I didn't see nothing that screamed at me that my daughter hit a tree.
Rebecca and Deering, I'm going to show you some video that we've obtained, and I'd like you to explain, Mr. Smith, what are we seeing?
We're watching my daughter go back towards another friend's house that's actually directly behind these two girls' house. And what we're going to see here is that my daughter noticed that there was two other children. Now, I don't know if they're telling her that the other group of kids is coming, but I do know that it scared her enough to run back down to the neighbor's house right behind these two girls' house.
So right now they're pausing. They're pausing. One's looking back. One in the pink shirt is pointing backwards. And watch Olivia. What? Look, she starts running. Jogging, but she's running. Why do you believe she's running, Deering?
Because there's a group of 12 children actively looking for her. Some are wearing masks. They're actively seeking her out.
Now, hold on. Let me not lose what's happening. We see her now. She's walking away. Now she's gotten on a bike, and you believe she's still being pursued. She's pulling up to a home. There's a little girl in the pink top. There's Olivia on the bike, going at a normal speed. Where is she going, Deering?
To the same house that she's at on the video where she's sitting on the porch. And right there is the last footage we've seen my daughter alive.
Isn't it true that it's shortly after this that she dies?
In this same video that I acquired, the ambulance shows up 14 minutes after she walks around that corner.
And here, Mr. Smith, we're seeing the ambulance pull up to the scene. How much later is it that the ambulance gets there?
14 minutes.
Straight out to criminal defense attorney, renowned criminal defense attorney, Marie Pereira. She is joining us from L.A. She is also a registered nurse, in addition to being a trial lawyer. Marie, thank you for being with us. I'm sure you see potential criminal implications if this child was chased and then died.
Absolutely. I think investigators need to treat the entire neighborhood where it happened like it was a crime scene. And they need to interview each and every one of her little friends to find out what happened before. Was there a chase? And did they intend to scare her, bully her, and then cause her to be so afraid that she had a cardiac episode? It's very important to find out what happened before, during, and after. All those little girls, little and all, need to be sat down, talked to find out exactly what was going on, because they're pointing the finger at a tree as a culprit. That's the third-party culprit, like you said earlier. It's the tree. The tree did it.
Reminder to all that everyone involved is innocent. As we go to air tonight, presumed innocent and remain presumed innocent unless and until the state pierces that presumption with evidence sufficient to prove them guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Rebecca, your daughter Olivia did have a minor heart issue with her mitral valve. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
But to you, Dr. Priya Banerjee, wouldn't the initial autopsy prove if that were the COD cause of death?
Absolutely. So she needs a very specialized heart dissection to analyze the valves, especially with a pre-existing condition. But very similar to Marie's, and right along with it, Marie's point that the investigation is going to really need to be very detailed, because any stress that is added to Olivia and putting her at a risk of sudden death, even with a pre-existing heart condition, if it is the stress, the actions of one or more individuals, and I understand everybody's proven innocent until proven guilty, I'm not saying any of that, but in a medical setting, if the running under duress was an issue here, and that is proven, that then really flips the script.
Her phone.
Did you hear that? One child says, just say we were trying to check on her. Rebecca, Deering, first to you, Deering, did you hear that? Do you want me to play it again? I want to hear it again. Could you play that again, control room? I want to hear exactly what the minors are stating.
Her phone. No, no, I'm not doing this. I didn't do anything.
Go home. Shaggy.
Yeah, I'll go home.
Any means necessary. I was not chasing her.
Hey, if she tries to say we were chasing her, does it say we were trying to kick her with the book?
Yeah. How are you kicking her?
To Marie Pereira, veteran trial lawyer and registered nurse, in the words of Shakespeare, "Methinks thou doth protest too much. Nobody said chasing, and then suddenly run. Where? No, no, no. Whoa. We weren't chasing. If somebody tries to say we were chasing, say we were checking on her. Did you hear that?"
I heard that very clearly, and the audio makes all the difference. It's the audio for me. And like I said, all those little girls are innocent until proven guilty, but they should each be interviewed separately to find out what happened, because it's all about intent, Nancy, you know that. And if they chase her with an intent to hurt her, bully her, and cause a cardiac episode, even though the little girl might have had a pre-existing cardiac condition, if they did something to trigger it, made her feel unsafe, she was running. See, they already sound like they're trying to come up with a story. They need to check those little girls' phones, because text messages, direct messages, TikTok messages, because if they had something against her prior and they planned to hurt her and this caused what happened, we could have reckless intent. Intent doesn't have to be, I'm going to hurt you and cause you to have a cardiac episode. But if I'm chasing you, making you feel like, oh my God, they're going to hurt me, and I had a heart condition and had any type of seizure, neurological arrhythmia, whatever you want to call it, and it was your actions that caused it, that could be criminality, even for those little girls.
It's called an abandoned and malignant heart. What does that mean? This is the example I would always give juries, and I always had this as a backup to a malice murder charge. Abandoned and malignant heart is a form of murder one. And what it means, for instance, is I get in my minivan and I put on the brake with one foot and hit the gas with the other foot, rev it up, and then drive 90 mph through, let's just say, a flea market. Everybody's there going from kiosk to kiosk. They're eating ice cream. They're having a good time. And then I fly through and run down four people and they die. I don't even know those four people. I did not intend to kill those specific people, but I acted with an abandoned and malignant heart. That is also called depraved heart. And you don't have to have intent to kill. You must act in a manner so egregiously reckless that the law presumes you intended to harm. So, chasing this little girl, whether she ran into a tree, whether she had a heart failure, the chasing ending in her death. It's not a complicated legal theory. To Dr. John Dellatore joining me, a licensed psychologist, mediator, specializing in forensic psychology, consultant to Project Absentis, that is a nonprofit searching for missing people. And you can find him at resolutionfcs.com. I'd like, as I speak to Dr. Dellatore, to see the video of the minors running. Dr. Dellatore, why would they run from the scene? I would have a field day with the jury on that. Why run? Why not stay and tell the EMTs what happened? Speak to Rebecca. Speak to Deering Smith. Tell the parents what happened. Try to help Olivia. Why run from the scene and start concocting stories?
We have something called consciousness of guilt, right? And everybody has it. As soon as you start learning about right and wrong, truth and lies, as soon as you start developing those kinds of skills, when something happens, if you are somehow contributing to it, your mind, your conscience is going to start thinking about, and what are the ways are you going to be blamed for this thing? And so then your consciousness is trying to protect you, to try to protect your safety. Instead of the victim's safety, it's your safety. So instead of running to right? Instead of running towards the victim to try to do something to help, if you believe that you have somehow contributed to whatever happened to that victim, your consciousness is going to stop you from then engaging it. And then that's when the behaviors that investigators need to start looking at. These are the things that the investigators need to focus on.
Just minutes after this video was taken, the 12-year-old girl on the left-hand side of your screen ends up dead. And nobody can really tell her mother how she died. This happened on July 7th, and that's Olivia Smith on the left-hand side of your screen. You can see she stands up, and then walks off screen towards some trees. And then moments later, she collapses and she dies. Now, this is around 9:15 p.m. Then the 911 call happens at around 9:21 p.m.
For a 12-year-old female that ran face first into a tree is unconscious at this time.
You can hear that they say she ran into a tree and simply collapsed and died.
That's Robbie Harvey on TikTok. So that's another issue to Dave Mack, Crime Stories investigative reporter. Dave Mack, we're being told at the beginning by minors at the scene, she ran into a tree, which morphed into she drove her bike into a tree. Yeah. Why make that up?
Well, because they're trying to come up with a plausible answer for why their friend is now lying unconscious. And if you notice, the first thing we hear several of them saying, we weren't chasing her. We weren't chasing her. And if you notice, too, one of the kids says, I'm going home. I can't deal with it. I'm going home. So we're talking about they're headed one direction and then, nope, I'm headed home. They know what they've done is wrong. But what really gets me, Nancy, is we've got Olivia at 9:15 on the porch getting up and walking away to the left. And that's 9:15. 6 minutes later, she's unconscious. We're on the phone with 911. 6 minutes, Nancy. That's what could possibly cause a 12-year-old girl to die in 6 minutes from on the porch, walking away. And now it boggles my mind and breaks my heart for the family.
To Rebecca Smith, this is Olivia's mom. Is it true, and I don't want to name names, is it true that you believe someone lured Olivia to a location and then started chasing her?
Yes. Yes.
What do you believe happened and why do you believe it?
I'll give you the rundown of everything. My mind was a mess when I sent all those videos to your assistant. So Olivia gets there. She's at her friends that are in the pink top and the black top when they're walking. Those are her friends. They didn't partake in any of this. So they're at her friends hanging out for about a half an hour. They get a text from a girl saying, let's go to the park. They're building they're rebuilding the park up there. Let's go check it out. So they go up to the park. I believe that's the first initial time that the other group of girls and boys noticed that my daughter was there. They were chased towards the back of the park to a friend's house, the adult's friend's house, where the parents were notified, hey, I got your girls down here. They're scared. The mom met them halfway down towards the park, told them to come home. They went home, played. For whatever reason, my daughter, Olivia, and her friends go for another walk. And that's the video that you see where they're walking up and then over. And then you see the group of kids come out of that sidewalk. And that's why Olivia starts running. You can hear the kids all come off of the sidewalk saying, there she is, there she is. Oh, hell no, there she is. And they all run towards my daughter. That is what my daughter is looking at as she climbs up or comes off of the porch, is that group of kids then barreling towards her. And she was trying to get back to her girlfriend's parents' house. That is what happened.
Rebecca, you're right. Let's play the video. Here you see where the chase of this little girl, Olivia, begins.
Did you tell them? Did
Did you hear that, Marie Pereira? Exactly what Rebecca advised. You hear them saying, well, did you tell her? Did you tell her? So they could go chase a little girl.
It's giving conspiracy. It's giving little girl gang. And I know they're presumed innocent until proven guilty. And we don't even know if a crime was actually committed. But check those little girls' phones to see. Because telephones and text messages will reveal intent every time. And like you said, Nancy, whether it's intent to harm, to put fear in somebody's heart, or recklessness, something they should have known, it will show in the text messages, even when little girls can lie. Separate them, interview them, and then you'll find out exactly what happened. There has to be some kind of accountability, even if it's not criminal accountability after an investigation, because there was a break in what happened to that poor little girl from the chase to the collapse. They might say one has to do nothing with the other, but civil court may have something else to say, a wrongful death suit, something, recklessness. Some accountability needs to happen here.
To Dr. John Delatorre, Olivia's dead. And I, like many other prosecutors, started trying cases in juvenile court. There typically are not juries. It's a whole nother animal to try cases in juvie court as opposed to superior court, felony court. But that said, the result is the same. Olivia is dead. And according to mom and dad, she was purposefully chased by little bullies.
Yeah, those are all going to be key elements. Every jurisdiction has what's known as a transfer or a waiver process. Now, some require the individuals accused of a crime are of a certain age, but the process is you evaluate that juvenile to determine whether or not they are developed enough to understand the behaviors that they were engaging in. And so those are all going to be key elements of that transfer waiver evaluation to determine whether or not they should be moved from a juvenile court. Again, if the allegations are levied against them and they're accused of a crime, that would then transfer them or waiver them into an adult court to face adult punishment.
I want to remind everyone that we are blurring the faces of many of these minors. Can we believe our own eyes? Do I know that those children, do I know that those minors in the video are the ones involved? No, I don't. I don't know the whole truth of the scenario yet. But I will. I will know the truth. I want to go back out to Rebecca and Deering Smith. Is it true the police are not telling you anything and the only reason we have the videos we've got tonight is because neighbors felt empathy for you and contacted you and said, hey, look at these videos from our Ring. Look at this. That's the only way you got these.
So there was one particular officer that was definitely helping us. You can tell he took it personally. He told me he didn't have any of his own children, but he was going to get to the bottom of this. However, there's just certain situations where, you know, sticky situations where he can't really help us. Now, as far as like, what he has and what he can tell us and all that, it's real, because we're dealing with minors. He can't tell us a whole lot other than, you know, that they're actively working on it. That's it. That's all they can tell us for right now.
How did you get the videos to Rebecca and Deering?
My husband actually received them from my nephew.
Yeah. I received two different sets of videos. I was laying in bed one night trying to sleep. That's been an issue. And he had sent me all kinds of videos that he had screen recorded, that what he had found online. The morning after that, I then found all of the videos that he was sending me under somebody's comment section online. And I did my best to screen record what I could, because you can't download them. And then I had a friend actually go on there and then do it off of his PC. So I got a lot of that camera footage off that same house that we were watching, and more.
Deering Smith, what do you believe happened to Olivia?
Her heart gave out. I think she was scared to death, literally.
If you know or believe you know anything, even if you think it may be insignificant, please dial Bay County Sheriff's 989-892-8571. Repeat, 989-892-8571. We want justice for Olivia. We remember American hero Sergeant Scott Reese, Rittman PD, Ohio, shot in the line of duty, leaving behind a grieving wife, Michelle, and two little girls, Abby and Maddie. American hero Sergeant Scott Reese. Thank you to our guests, but especially to you for being with us. Nancy Grace, signing off for tonight, but I'll see you tomorrow night. And until then, good night, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.